Your 72-Hour Kit Could Kill You by Jim Phillips is an important program that may very well save your life. Jim notes that nearly every commercial 72-hour kit or list of what to buy for one is loaded with cheap trinkets, baubles, and beads instead of quality and performance-proven items that you can trust your life to in a real emergency. All of these kits, without fail, have some very serious flaws that could cost you your life. The following was taken from a civil defense training program in April of 1997.
I'm going to talk about some stuff, but I'm pretty blunt about a few things out there, and I'm not here to pick on anybody or anything necessarily, but I'm just going to tell you what I understand. So I'll give you that kind of that disclaimer in here, because I never know who I'm talking to, and every now and then I offend the socks off of somebody that has a particular product. I apologize. It is not my intention to do that, but I'm going to tell you what I understand. So let's talk about kits for a moment. As a matter of fact, about 72-hour kits, because that's something that we hear a lot about. And there's people pushing either lists of kits of things that you can put together, or they may have a particular kit. And there's nothing wrong with that necessarily. Except one of the things that I have found to be true with so many of these kit things is that they're deadly. And I mean that in earnest. You see, if you bought a kit like this is a purchased one, I went and bought them. This is deadly. But let me tell you why. And it goes back to just what I told you. See, here's the problem. Here's the setup, the emotional setup, if you will, that'll get you in trouble with your attitude. Suppose that you have some kind of a feeling that says, you know, I need to get involved in this preparedness thing, and I need to get some things together. I need to buy some stuff. I don't know a whole lot about it, but I need to do something about it. So you go down to the store. Maybe you buy a book that talks about these things. Or maybe you go down to somebody that's selling a kit. And you go in there, as I did with this one, and I said, tell me about kits. I need to buy some kits. Sometimes it's hanging on the wall, or it's in a display case, or there's a list of it there, or there's a picture of all the things that are in there. And here's all the stuff that they put in this bag. You know, this is the $49.95 special, if you will, and it has these things in there. And they'll tell you why it's in there and those things. And you say, look, this feels good. I can get my kit. So you take your kit home, 3, 4, 5 of them, whatever you need. You hang them in the closet, you put them in the garage, you put them in the basement, you put them in the trunk of your car, wherever you're going to go, and now you feel good because you've got your stuff. You see, I bought my stuff, now I can take care of my family. This is particularly important for men who have responsibility for wives and children, and now we're feeling okay because we've done our part. Now think about it. Here's the setup. Whatever happens, happens. Floods, tornadoes, earthquakes, you know, terrorism. There's all kinds of things. We give you a long list of things here. We'd all be depressed, you know, if we look at too many of those things. Something happens. The neat thing about when things happen is you get to try out what you know. Not that I'm anxious to do that, but we get to try it out, so we might as well find some kind of... It's looking for the strawberry in the manure patch, by the way. You know one of the best ways to grow strawberries, isn't you? With a lot of manure. Well, we could focus on the manure, and it's pretty ugly, stinky stuff. We're looking for the strawberries in there. Sometimes you have to look pretty hard, but you can find them. Okay, so here we are. Something has happened. You grab your kit. You're in the backyard. You're in the hills. You are wherever you are, and things are as they are. The season is what the season is. The conditions are what they are. You are who you are where you are. And you dig into your kit. Now, for most people, this is the first time they've seen the inside of the kit, other than when they saw the picture of the salesman spread it out for them. So this is the first time they open up the kit, and they string these things out, and now they're trying to make a life out of this thing. And let me tell you, folks, it ain't going to go real well. Depending on the time of the year and the conditions, it's going to go very poorly. As a matter of fact, it's going to be horrible. And think about it. Here you were shortly, just a few moments before, feeling okay, and for weeks and months and years you felt okay because I had my kit or I had my basement full of stuff, whatever we want to talk about, but in particular these kits, and you felt good. And now as you dig into this stuff and you're trying to build a life out of these things, it's not going very well. And you're trying to figure out what on earth has happened here. I thought I had it handled and we're dying. Now, by the way, that'll blow the heck out of your attitude. I mean, suffering terribly. And the wife and the children are looking to dad and hubby, and he's going like, I don't have a clue. I thought I had it all straightened out here, and it's not going well. Now then, emotionally, what has happened? You've come from where you had a false sense of security. You thought it was okay. You didn't just hit zero. You went through the basement in your attitude, going like, I thought I had it handled. I don't have a clue what's going on. When you say to yourself, whether you use those words directly or you have an emotional feeling that says, I'm lost. I don't know what to do. What's going to happen? You're not going to do real well is the problem. So these kits by themselves, and in particular so many of them that are being sold and or not necessarily just about selling them, some of these lists that people are giving out, they have some big holes in them is what I'm saying. They have some tremendous holes in them. Both in terms of the physical material things that are in there, but the other big hole that's in it is people don't understand what's in there or why it's in there, and they don't understand what their true needs and priorities are. See, here's what you really need to understand. You need to understand, you need to know, you need to comprehend what your true needs and priorities are for your physical well-being. The needs and the priorities of those needs. And then if you understand how and why things work around you, material things, how the weather works, however all kinds of things work, if you understand how and why things work and you understand what your true needs and priorities are, what do? Well, the first thing that's going to happen is you probably will have a better kit. That's one thing. Or if for some reason you don't have a kit because it's been destroyed, lost, or whatever's happened, is you're going to look around where you are and you're going to say, okay, this is what I need. This is what I need first, second, third, fourth, and fifth. This is how and why things work. What do I have so that I can take care of my problem? So rather than being dependent on the kit thing, what are you dependent on? You're dependent on what's inside of you. It is your knowledge. It is your understanding. It's your skills. So here's a part of my message that is so very, very important. You are not safe because of what you own. Your personal preparedness is not determined by ownership of things alone. It is determined by what is in here, in your head, what is in your heart, who you are, and the skill and knowledge, if you will, that's in your fingertips in terms of being able to do things. It's your head, your heart, and your fingers. That's what determines whether you're safe. And then you take the material things that are around you and you use them to take care of those true needs and priorities because you understand how and why things work. That's the whole heart of this thing. Now, what I did was I kind of gave you another look at what I just said earlier about attitudes and about knowledge and about material things. That's the way that it works. And I will say that again and again and again because people need you folks and me need to stop just thinking in terms of what do I need to own in terms of material things and think in terms of what do I need to know. The material things will follow. Because once you understand something, it bugs you so much you have to solve the problem and you'll go figure out a way to do that. Now, there was the emotional part of this kit that I says is a problem. Now, I'm going to take some things apart. I want to take a look at them here again. My intention is not exactly to pick on things, but I want you to start to understand. So here's one of our $49.95 kits. And by the way, I haven't been in this thing for several years. I'm not quite sure what's in here myself. I'm kind of like the guy that shows up in the backyard like, hey, now what am I going to do? But I got my kit. So let's take a look at this kit and see what we have. And I'm going to give you kind of a readout on some things. Now, don't use this as the final word because I want to go on to some other stuff. But if you'll get my understanding, if you'll get the drift on these things. Well, something that we usually have inside of a kit will be some food. Okay, so here we have some food. This is the ubiquitous, you know, the MREs, meals ready to eat. And they're okay. They're edible sort of kind of. Yeah, they're not too bad compared to some of the other things we used to have. They're pretty good, actually. So you got some of those in there. That kind of makes sense. We got some cups right here, and we got some spoons, and we've got a napkin in that, so that doesn't seem all that terribly bad. And here's a tube tent. Okay, so we got one of those. And I'll comment on a few of these things. I just want to see what's in here, because I don't remember what's inside of this thing. Okay, and then we got some hand warmers, you know, so you can stay warm when it's cold. And here's a first aid kit that we've got inside of this thing. And there's a whistle. Here's us one of these space blanket kind of thingies right here. Okay, and so here we are. First aid, food, a little bit of shelter, some kind of warmth, and some more kind of shelter things right here. So you look at the kit and say, there it is. Suppose that's what you had. Suppose that's what you had tonight. This is going to be one of the longest nights of your life. And suppose it was going to be several nights. It's going to be awful. Now, I've done some of those things. I've done lots of survival things and kind of stuff like that. I want you to understand some of the limits of these things. First off, let me give you what your true needs and priorities are. Here's the thing that I wish people understood better. There is another list of things, and I call this wilderness wisdom. It's a list of four. And this wilderness wisdom, when we talked about those other four in here and we came down to the material things, this is the material things. doesn't have anything to do with your emotional, psychological, or any of those kinds of things. This is your physical, material well-being. This is what you need. Number one, top of the list. Nothing takes precedence over this. Very top of the list is clothing. Number two on this list is nutrition. Put a dotted line right here. And then we have number three and number four. This is a list of four. We do it in fours. It's real simple. It's easy to remember. These two items at the top of the list are the prepared necessities. People come to me very often and they say, Mr. Phillips, I'm going to, and I've been asked this in many different ways, I'm going to Greenland, I'm going to Alaska, I'm going to be climbing Mount McKinley, I'm climbing Mount Everest, I'm going to the Antarctic. I want my family to be prepared for an emergency in the middle of winter. What if we have a big earthquake in the middle of winter? All kinds of things they'll ask me, what do I need? They're really saying, give me a list. And so I say, okay, you ready to write this down? They get out their pencil and paper. You know, I say, here you are. Number one, clothing. Number two, nutrition. I don't say anything else. And they look up after a moment and they say, with these pleading eyes that says, that's it? That's it. That's all. Let me give you in nutrition just a little more information right in here. Nutrition we're going to define as being water plus food in that order of priority. So there's your prepared necessities. You say, now, wait a minute, that's too simplistic. Well, you have to understand what goes inside of that and what I mean by that. Let's talk about water for just a moment, because there's one that's real simple. You say, well, I know water's pretty important. When I talk about water, I just don't mean a handful of water, a mouthful of water. When I talk about water, I mean everything that it takes so that you can store, procure, purify, so that you can have an adequate supply of water for as long as you need it. Because when you run out of water, after a little while, you die. So we're talking about this whole issue about water, not just a little bit of water for the moment. Number three on the list is shelter. And number four is fire. These, number three and number four, are the survival necessities. And I think maybe you'll understand why I put it this way. Think about it. If I have adequate clothing on so that I could sit on a stump at 40 below zero for as many hours as I wanted to and be comfortable, do I need shelter or fire, quite frankly? If I have the nutrition that takes care of me so that I can keep my body going and everything, do I necessarily need shelter and fire? And why are the order of priority? Well, it's real simple. See, when the conditions are poor, when it's very inclement, when it's cold, the wind's blowing, the snow and the rain and the sleet are coming at you, and if you're outside in a breech cloth, you're not going to make it very long. Your life may be down to just a few minutes to maybe a couple of hours before you suffer injury and death. Clothing is your protection. So you have to have clothing at the top of the list because that's the first thing that'll kill you if you're still alive after whatever it is that's happened. Okay? Clothing, you've got to have that to protect you. Nutrition, why is it water plus food? How long does it take you to starve to death? Well, some of us, it may take us quite a few weeks. You know, I pack part of my food storage with me. We all do. Even a very skinny, a very, very thin person has an incredible amount of stored nutrients inside of their body. Good for weeks before you're going to starve to death. How long do you make it without water? You can count it in hours, depending on the conditions. Very high heat, or the one that most people don't understand or know about is when it gets cold. As the temperatures get cold, as they get lower, your need for water goes up. And if you don't have it, you won't make it. So you must have water first. And then once you take care of the water, then food becomes a problem. Now, will you get hungry if you don't have food? Yeah. Well, I went one time 10 days. 10 days without anything to eat. I didn't go 10 days without water because you won't make it, even in ideal conditions. No food for 10 days. But after the second day, I started drinking water. And that's all I had. 10 days. I was okay. After the third day, you really aren't all that hungry. Your body gives up and says, okay, my throat's cut, the heck with it. And you're okay. You just get a little bit weak. You don't have quite as much energy, but you're all right. As long as you have water. You run out of water, you'll go downhill. 2 to 3 days, it's all over in most cases. Shelter. Why do we use shelter? Well, if the clothing is poor, think about it. Tonight, it's not the middle of winter, but suppose we were all transported exactly the way we are right now outside and we were holding this class. It'd be a short class, wouldn't it? We're going to break up pretty soon. But suppose we had to stay out there tonight. Probably we wouldn't die, but it would be a very long night, and maybe there are some people that wouldn't make it if you really had to stay outside. So we use shelter to make up for poor clothing. We use fire to make up for poor clothing. That's what it comes down to. And if your clothing is poor, is not adequate, or your food and nutrition part is not adequate, then we start using shelter and fire to make up for it for a while. But it won't make up for it forever. This is your true needs and priorities right here. This is it. This is what you must understand. Now, understanding this, let's start taking a look at our kits that we have. Well, we'll take a look at this one up here. What do they have for clothing? Well, they do have the Polar Shield emergency blanket. You see these around. These are in all the emergency kits. No, bluntly. Now, is it totally worthless? They didn't really say that, but here's the problem. See, you get a false sense of security. It tells you about how you wrap this around. I just want you to try this. Take one of these things tonight. Go outside and spend the night wrapped in one of these. I won't have to say anything else. Since most of you probably won't do that tonight, let me tell you this. Now, will these help? Will they make a little difference? Yeah, as a matter of fact, it'll help keep some of the rain off if he wants to rain. And it'll help get rid of some of the wind that may blow on you. Just a big old garbage sack will do about as much as this will. You say, yes, but it's reflective. Well, we could spend a lot of time on it. Yeah, and it returns a little bit of your heat, and that will help. But the thing I love about it, in the instructions, they always tell you, wrap it tightly around you. What you have to understand, these radiant barriers, you have to have an air gap. And when it's right up next to your skin or to your clothing and there's no air gap so they can radiate some of that back to you, you get no value. You have the insulation value of a thin, very thin piece of plastic, which is next to nothing. Now, you do get the moisture shedding and you do get the stopping the moving wind, which will help. So they have some value, but it's extremely limited compared to what the impression is. Wrap yourself in one of these things and go through a blizzard in the middle of winter. I don't think so. If you're dependent on this for your shelter and your emergency clothing, you're going to die in January. If this is it, you're not going to make it. You're going to have some kind of shelter and fire. You're going to learn how to be a fire builder and how to build some emergency shelters, because this won't cut it. So these are of very limited value, yet they sell them by the ton because everybody thinks they should be in there. Try using one of them. That's all that I'm saying. Then we have these little heat packs. You say, okay, well, this is in that. It doesn't work real well, so we have some of these warm packs right in here. And this is kind of a fire thing. You don't see any flame, but there's actually some sort of combustion. What it is, it's fast rusting, if you want to know what's going on. This just makes iron rust very fast, which is an exothermic reaction. You get up some heat. So you say, well, that's a really great thing to have. What people don't understand is these things have a shelf life. Now, I bought this kit, about 1988. These have a shelf life of 2 years. So if I rip open this pack to try and warm up my frozen hands, what's going to happen? It's going to blow my attitude because I'm wondering what's going on. You see, they have a very short shelf life. So if you have any of these in your kits or in your storage and they're over 2 years old, throw them away. They're taking up valuable space. See, people do not understand the limits of these things, what they really do, what they won't do, and what their limits are. We have a first aid kit. We won't say, you got to have a little bit of stuff. By the way, one of the best basic first aid kits is Dermasil surgical tape. Both the cloth and the paper, and that'll take care of an awful lot of things. Now, if you're into first aid and those things, you understand there can be all kinds of injuries and things. But the thing I have used most through the years, and I have a lot of time in the wilderness and Boy Scouts and all those things, is, man, I use Dermasil tape, and I've carried some of these other first aid supplies. I have some of them that are in that backpack over there that I have carried since the mid-1960s. Now, I haven't used them yet, but, man, I've gone through the Dermasil tape. Yes, it is better than duct tape, because some people will react to the adhesive in the duct tape, but duct tape makes a good substitute if you don't have anything else. So some kind of a first aid kit, that's fine. They always have these whistles in here. Of course, I love the metal ones, so that in the winter, when you go to blow in them, they're stuck on your lips. That's a problem. But the other one that I love about it is, okay, so we all got our emergency kits, and we all have whistles, and we're going around there blowing our whistles. What's the point? But they're in the kit because everybody thinks they ought to be in the kit, so you see them in the kits. Now, did I say a whistle is absolutely useless? No, for some children, and to help them if they're lost to locate them. And say, it's okay, but is this an A priority item? No, this falls down around D. Once you get the A, we haven't even done anything with A up in this case. Here's some food. That's okay. But what's our nutrition problem we have? We don't even have a container in this thing to put water in. The most useful thing that's in here, and it's limited, but the most useful thing in the whole kit. Well, there's two things. You got the bag so that you can maybe get something that really would work, and put in there. And the other thing is the tube tent. But I'm not real big on tube tents because everybody tries to put them up and make a tent out of them. Take a look at the thing. It's got the walls missing on both ends. What's that going to do in the rain and the wind? So they show you the picture. It's a tube tent. You string a cord through it and you tie it between some trees or something like that. Try that. And when the weather's bad, when it's warm and it's calm, it works out just great. But what's the point of having a tent over you when it's warm and calm? When do you need a tent? Well, when it's 28 degrees and the wind is blowing 30 miles an hour and it's snowing. Boy, would you like to have something that'll give you shelter. It's just going to whistle right through this thing. Now, we can take and make this thing work because we're not going to put it up as a tent. We're going to put your sleeping bag. Oh, we don't have a sleeping bag, so now we have a problem. But we're going to put our sleeping bag inside. We're just going to leave it down on the ground and tuck it around us, and you'll sleep like that. And that's the way we've been teaching people to sleep since the early 1960s. All right, so we took a look at a kit. Pretty inadequate, but you can go buy one of those things too. Some of them have a little more stuff in them. Here is a what I'm going to call a professional kit. I'm just going to throw things out of the way rather than pack them up right now. Here we have a professional kit that came from one of my clients. They asked me to evaluate their kit, and we taught about 900 of their personnel. And I was doing the winter class and the winter survival, but here's a kit that they had they issued to people. Now, by the way, this box that surrounds this kit cost about four times as much as that kit. So we start out with a quality box, that helps. And it has some stuff in it. Now, let's take a look. Here, we're getting a first aid kit, but notice that it's such a huge volume, but, you know, first aid's important, sort of. Here we got the heat packs again. We already know about those, what they'll do, what they won't do. Here's something that's interesting, however. There's a couple of pints of water and a container for water. So we've started to address that in here. There's some road flares. Do you know what these flares are good for? Yeah, fire starting. That's the best thing. By the way, you take a flare and with a pocket knife. You always have to have a pocket knife. How many people in here have a pocket knife on them? Okay, you guys have a chance. The rest of you, I'm sorry. You ladies, you need to have a pocket knife. It's a wonderful tool. When I talk about clothing, up here on our list of clothing, folks, this is clothing. I wear this thing all the time. I would rather leave home without my pants than without my knife. And one time I was in a hurry for a meeting, and I got down the road a couple of miles, and I had changed my clothes, and I realized I didn't have my pocket knife, and I was already late. I went back. Bothers me that I went back. I was even later, because I'm going to have my knife, because I've got a tool here. So this is even clothing, because I wear it. So with your pocket knife, you can cut off a little piece of this, and you can use it to help start a fire. Then we got a couple of emergency blankets. We already talked about those. Then we have our survival hard candy. I love those things. We could talk a lot, you know, it's got the right name on it, you know. Survival candy, carbohydrate supplement, quick energy, and all those things. By the way, this is a lie, but I don't have time to tell you why. And an even worse lie than this is chocolate, but it's in so many of the kits out there because you're supposed to have that. There are a couple of cups which helps, and there's some food bars and things in here, and these are really getting stale at this point because this kit's about 6 years old now. And there's a couple of candles in here, and there are some more of those heat pack things in there. A couple of candles, a little wing stove, you know, so we got a little bit of fire, people paying attention to fire. There's some matches. I got some matches in this kit, and there happens to be a folding shovel and a few things like that. Well, you know, if you take a look at them and you start looking at the priority list over there and you're saying like, I see some holes in these kits. Now, how are we going to solve this? Well, you're going to have to solve it individually is a part of what my message is. You need to understand how and why these things are working based on that list over there. And each one of us may have some unusual needs. Those needs may be the amount of money that you have. I had a lady come to me a couple of years ago, and she had listened to the lecture. She was a mother of five or six children, and finances were a challenge. And she says, I feel an urge to do something about getting started with my emergency preparedness, but what do I buy? She says, I can't afford the $40 and $50 kits. And, of course, after listening to this, she says, I'm not sure it'd do any good to spend $40 or $50, which is true. How can I use my precious resources to get a start? Now, this is not the end of all kits, but this is a beginning in this kit. Now, first off, you have to understand you have clothing. I'm not going to package clothing in this thing. You've got clothes. So we skip the clothing issue in terms of what we're going to put in this kit. But let's just take a look at what a very basic kit might look like. The first thing we're going to do is have what? You got your clothing you're going to wear. What do we have? Water. As a part of my water storage, something, if those of you that aren't aware of this, what was talked about with those iodine crystals and things, here I have an iodine water purification kit. This allows me to replenish my water supply. Your heat generation capacity drops off. Well, if you were kind of in trouble anyway because your clothing was inadequate, and now your heat production falls off, you're in trouble faster. So keeping your water level up is extremely important. Now, when the temperatures get down approaching the zero mark, somewhere between 10 and going down to zero. And if you're an adult outside, kind of involved in normal labor, I don't mean, you know, real chain gang kind of heavy work, but if you're doing a little bit of labor and work out there, you're going to need to consume approximately a gallon of water a day. And if you don't get a gallon of water a day, you're going to become dehydrated. Now, if you're getting 2 quarts of water, you know, you're not going to be getting as dehydrated as fast, but you're going to be getting dehydrated. It eventually catches up with you. The fire goes out, and they say you died of hypothermia. Actually, it was the dehydration that was the trigger. Now, what's the mechanism for this? I'd like to spend a lot of time in it. One of the courses that I do is called Without Fire Shelter. That's a 14-hour course. I have a little more time to dig into some of the details than we have here. The colder it gets, the more easily you dry out. You must make up for that. Well, there's only 2 ways to solve this problem. One of them is you drink more water to make up for the losses, or the other one is stop the loss, so stop breathing. I found number 2 to be the poorer of the 2 choices. You need to drink the water. So when you're out there and that's where you are, you're going to dehydrate. You've got to make up for it. It's as simple as that. See, you just have to understand the rules and obey the rules. Now then, having picked on kits for a moment, I want to give you a little bit of hope that you don't necessarily have to spend lots and lots of money to do things. Let me give you some concepts right here and how you can save money. Now, one of them that I mentioned was, and that's already been talked a little bit about, these water filters are very, very useful, and I recommend that be an extremely high priority on your list. Why do you want to have one of those things? Because if you ingest critters and you get amoebic dysentery, you're going to die. Why? Because you dehydrate. Do you know what the single leading cause of death on planet Earth is? What more people die from every day than anything else in the world? It is diarrhea, folks, from ingesting critters. And it's the dehydration and all the flushing of the nutrients and things that go along with that, and very, very serious diarrhea. You can't get enough water into you to make up for it, enough nutrients. Diarrhea kills more people than anything else. You've got to have a way of taking care of those things. The iodine, if it's used properly and carefully, and we need to spend a little more time on that, because if you don't use the iodine properly, if you don't give it enough time, temperature, and concentration, it won't kill the toughest of these things. Cryptosporidium and the Giardia cyst, are tenacious little bounders to kill. Iodine will get them. You cannot use chlorine, Clorox. The thing about the Clorox, forget it. If you have it in storage, dump it. The thing that will work is crystalline iodine if you're going to use one of the poisons. Now, there's one commercial brand that I'm aware of that's crystalline iodine, and that's Polar Pure. This costs about $10, $11, depending on where you buy it, and this little bottle will process 2,000 quarts of water if you use it properly. But here's the thing about iodine. This stuff's deadly. You ingest a crystal, you did lots of harm. This stuff eats holes in stainless steel spoons. I've made my own. Tell you how reactive it is. So be very careful with it. It's not something to be left laying around. You must handle it carefully. One of the things I like about the Polar Pure is it has a little neck that goes down inside. So then when you tip it, the crystals won't dump out. They catch down in here in the rim. That's one of the things. If you're using just the regular bottle, which I have a bunch of them like over there because I can afford those things better, just don't pour any crystals into your water and drink it because it's going to do ugly things to you. This is a poison. Because it's supposed to kill the critters. It'll kill you too if you get too much. So you have to be careful. Now, the reason that I use both iodine and I use the water filters is because the water filters will not kill the viruses. We don't have a big virus problem now, but when we move into an emergency setting, and what's one of the things that's going to happen? I'm going to be rude about this. What are we going to have going on in a kind of a massive incident? Well, water supply, yeah, but what's the real problem? How sanitation, there's a couple of things. One of them has to do with sanitation, which is the waste product from people, and the other one is bodies laying in the water supply. You got worse than sewage going on here. We're going to have some viral problems, and the filters will not take out the viruses, but this will kill them. I use them both, because what you need to understand is clothing and water first, and then you can fill in with the rest of the stuff. So, the reason I show you this is, see, the filters are very useful, but this is where you can begin because you can afford this first. You don't have to spend a ton of money. Some other little things real quickly, just to give you ideas. You know, you can spend a lot of money on, you know, cooking pots and stainless steel things. I mean, here's a wonderful little kind of a nesting cooking pot set right here. You know, it just costs you $35 or $40. I can do everything that'll do with these items right here. A 1 gallon, a number 10 can. Why do we have a 1 gallon can? Well, they're typically free. And this is a heck of a nice pot for gathering water in. You can have some pretty ugly water. Let's say that you have iodine, and let's say that you have a filter, but what you have is muck. I mean, really ugly water. What you're going to do is gather up some of it, let it settle, get most of the stuff out of it. Don't just try and filter it. You plug up your filters too quick. Just let it settle and you take the cleaner water off. You need some kind of a container. These are free. You have them all around you. So use them. And if they're not free, you can buy them very inexpensively. A pressed steel skillet costs you about $3 and a roll of aluminum foil. I've been doing this for decades. I can make anything. Cobblers, pies, pizzas, okay, any kind of food that you want. Not just tinfoil dinners. Those are kind of okay, but there's a lot of things you can do. This isn't a cooking class, but all I'm saying is this costs you $5 versus 40. Some other little things, right? Even on some of the real little cheap things that you can do. So you can go down and buy these hardened match cases. You know, they cost you $1 or something like that, but every dollar counts. How about a free pop bottle? Wonderful match container. You can put a whole box in that, by the way. And then you take a piece of sandpaper, emery cloth, with some double sticky tape and it's put on the outside, there's my striker. Or if you have a pill bottle that has a larger lid, you can put it inside and the lid right in here. So now you have a striker and a match container, and almost every one of you can do this for free. The thing you might not have is some emery cloth. Some of the coarser ones on that. But you see, you don't have to spend a lot of money. Just what are you out to do? Here's some of the things that are promoted out there. There's some really neat tools. You see these little multi-plier tools and things like this. This little thing, it flips open, and you've got your pliers on that and your wire cutters. The blades come out of the handles, and I have several of these. They're nice little things. Cost you somewhere between $40 to $60. Now, they make some cheap imitations of those things you can get for $7 or $8. Don't. It's a waste of money. It's like a pocket knife. You know, you go down to the stores, and you have those 14-function Swiss-type knives you can buy for $6. That's got to be a clue right there when you can buy them for $6. You know, you need to have one of these kinds of knives, right? You may spend $40, $50 for the knife. It's worth it. Now, I've carried this one. I probably got this one about 1976. And the blade's getting filed off from there. I've used it so much, you see, it'll hold up. Those others, the first time that you try to turn a screw with them, you know, they fly apart and those kinds of things. So cheap is not the way to go. My life depends on this. My life depends on this. What's my life worth? I'm not impressed with a $6 knife. But you can buy some quality knives. You say, well, how do I start? Well, one of them, and this is a knife that's in one of the kits over here, because people say, look, $30 for a knife. I got to concentrate on clothing and my water and some of those things first. But yes, a knife is a very important support tool on here. Here's one. If you'll go down to the Army surplus stores, you'll see it around. This is the U.S. Marine knife. It's what they issue to these guys out there. It's all stainless steel. It's well made. It costs you around $12. This is a quality $12 knife. So you can find things like that that will be quality. Instead of this multi-tool that costs you $30, $40, or $50, you can substitute two items, a pocket knife, which you darn well should have anyway. Get yourself a pair of pliers or a little vice grips like this, and you can do 95% of what you can do with that tool over there. I already have the knife. You should. If you don't, go get a $12 one of these. You can buy these for $8 or $9. So you see, for somewhere around, you know, under $20 or around $20, I replaced a $40, $50, $60 tool. And in some respects, it's even more convenient. So, you don't solve problems necessarily by spending money. One of the things that a pocket knife allows you to do is make tools, like you see a stirring stick or a spoon or things like that. It's an important part of your cooking. Another little thing right here. Oh, here they are. I took those out earlier. One of the extremely important things that you should have in your 72-hour kits and your survival kits are gloves. Good old leather palm ones. You don't have to buy the real fancy all leather ones. You can buy these things for $3 or $4. Get a ton of them. Now this replaces several things. In some cases, suppose you were going to use fire, campfires, wood fires. I love camping and I love cooking on an open campfire. It's a wonderful thing to do. And if I was going to use that, if I needed to use that, you say, well, how do you gather wood? How do you get wood? Well, so the tendency is you want to have a good axe. Well, they're heavy, they're bulky, and they're expensive. This is my replacement for my axe. Unless I'm going to use the axe for shaping wood to do a particular thing, if I just want to bust up some wood for a campfire, between my boots and between my leather gloves, I can stomp and break more wood in a half hour than you can do in 2 days with an axe. This allows me to grab a hold of things and get a hold of them, and I can pry them in between trees, all kinds of things, stomp with my feet. Now, I'm not going to be cutting big logs, right? I'll save that for an axe, but I don't want to burn big logs anyway. I get the small stuff. The other thing, here's the one reason why you really need these in your kits. In an emergency, and in particular, let's think about perhaps earthquake. Since that we don't have tornadoes here that's going to shatter our homes, but we have the potential for, it's not if, it's when, right? When you're digging through the rubble, you don't want to be doing that with your bare hands. Think about this, splintered wood, twisted and broken metal, and shattered glass. And you're trying to dig family or friends out or dig down to your basement full of stuff in there. You want to have some gloves. Very important thing to put in your kits. Just another little thing, you can buy some very, very nice and expensive wind garments and rain garments out there. Here's one. This is one that I designed. This is being manufactured for the Navy SEALs by a little company that's making these things. And they cost, for the top on this, it cost about $110. That's nice. Where do you start? Big old trash bag. This is where you start. You see there's some armholes in this thing. You cut out the top, and you put on a hat because we don't have a hood on this thing. And if you want to protect your arms, tuck them inside. Can you afford these? You can probably afford the garbage bags. Now, is this as nice as the other thing that I showed you over there? No, it's not as nice. Of course it's not. That would be better. But if you're going to concentrate on getting your clothing right and your water and nutrition and some of those other things and some of these tools that you need, then maybe you save money on your wind garments and on your rain-shedding garments for a while and go with some plastic trash bags until you can get around to buying these. And one other thing in the cost savings, and there's lots of these things, I just want to give you a quick potpourri so that you have some hope. Is anybody getting the message you should be storing water? We're going to kill a lot of people because they don't have enough water. That's one of the, it's between clothing and water is what they're going to die from, the lack of those things. So you should be storing some water. But water storage can be expensive depending on how you buy things. There are several levels of water storage. One of those is expedient. That's grab and go. It's just stuff that you can use. You can do your expedient water storage for between free and almost free. It's real simple and real easy to do. You need a container. You've got water right now. You have a plentiful supply of water, and it's basically good water. It'd be better if you filter it. Don't put anything in it. Don't put iodine in it or chlorine in it because that has some problems when you do that. You just want it to be pure water to begin with, and you need to put it in a container. Well, these are free. The ubiquitous 2-liter bottle. I don't recommend you drink what comes in them, but somebody does by the tons. And these bottles are all around, and you can get them. Rinse them out. Rinse them out good and clean. Fill them up with water and put them away. Now, the nicest way to store them, you see this apple box. Now, they make several different sizes of apple box, but this happens to be the one that's for the railroad cars. Okay? Guess what? 12 of these bottles will fit in an apple box. The apple box costs you about $2. And you can put 12 of them in here, and you can stack them to the ceiling full of water. And by the way, don't use milk bottles. Can't use milk bottles. They're made to be biodegradable. They break down. They fall apart after a while. Also, they happen to be gas permeable. And if you take a milk jug and you rinse it out real well and you put it down on the floor, well, the first thing you're going to notice, you never do get all the smell of milk out of them because it absorbs some of the flavor into the plastic. But if you put it in your basement floor, the water is going to taste like mop water off the floor because it picks up odors and flavors from whatever it happens to be around. So those low-density polyethylene bottles that are the milk cartons and jugs and things like that are not good for storing water in. These polycarbonate bottles are. They're very tough. They are not gas permeable. And to my knowledge, there's little, extremely little or nothing that will leach into just pure water. Now, the reason I do not put iodine or chlorine in there is because those are strong reactive elements, chemicals. And they may cause some kind of leaching or chemical change. And that's the reason I choose not to put it in there, just as a safety measure. If I need to kill something that's in my water, I'm going to kill it before I use it. But I don't want to store it in my water. I just want plain, pure water in my bottles. Now, this is for drinking. This is drinking water. You say, well, now we need some wash water. Well, some of you are using liquid detergents. Don't rinse out the bottle to get the last of the soap. Just pour out what will pour out and then take it, fill it up with water, put it in a box. What do you have? Wash water with detergent in it. What did it cost you? Nothing. It cost you some time. It cost you the commitment of your head and your heart to do something.